He was a 9-time All-Star, 4-time Gold Glover. He was the AL batting champ in 1979. He's in the Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame. He also played for the Angels, Orioles, Tigers, and Padres. Fred Lynn joins us in story time. Fred, I'm so pumped to have you on the show. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, Jason. How are you guys doing up there?
Oh, we're doing great, man. We're doing excellent. I'm so excited to have you on story time because, man, you got one hell of a story as a major leaguer. But we always like to go back kind of before that. So, Fred, tell us, how old was a young Freddie Lynn when he first started playing baseball?
Unlike today's youth, I was 10 when I first started playing organized baseball, Little League. I was eligible as a 9-year-old, but that summer my dad says, you know what, I'm out in the L.A. suburbs then, I'm in San Diego now, but all my relatives were in Chicago and Minnesota and Wisconsin. He says, you're going to spend the summer with all your relatives. So instead of playing Little League, that's what I did all summer. So I really didn't get to start till I was 10, and I played with the 11 and 12-year-olds. So when I first started out, literally, I think I struck out like, I don't know, maybe half the times that I hit. And my nickname was KO, meaning strikeout.
Yeah.
And so it took me a while to get used to it a little bit. But by the time the second half of the season rolled around, I picked it up pretty well. So I started playing baseball when I was 10.
So what were you doing before that? Were you playing soccer or just hanging out with your buddies?
They hadn't invented soccer yet. There was no soccer in this country. That was in Argentina and Brazil, places like that, but it wasn't here. I just did school activities. I went to public school in the suburbs of LA, and just played all this kind of sports. The weather was so good, I played touch football, played hoops a little bit, played all the things you did on the playground. Played Pop Warner football. And then by the time I got a little bit older, I whittled it down from four sports, for track, football, baseball, and basketball. In high school, I played 3 sports, and then in college, I played 2.
Yeah, and you were, like, obviously a great athlete. And I think, you talk about how sometimes today, we focus too much on one sport. And I think that hurts kids because all those other sports you played likely made you a better baseball player, but you just didn't necessarily know that as you were playing all of them.
That's a great point. From the time you're a little guy, from kindergarten through sixth grade, you managed to play tetherball and hopscotch and four square and kickball, all these things. And like I said, I was a seasonal athlete in Southern California. And by the time I got to be older and started to play center field, all the drills that I used to do in football and basketball for footwork, running sideways, backwards. So these are all skills that I used as a center fielder. And I really didn't really have to think about moving my feet or anything. It just came naturally because I had done all those things as a kid. If you just do one sport, like a lot of kids do today, they have a tendency to burn out. Or if say you're a pitcher and you throw 10 months out of the year, you never give your arm a rest. So even though I pitched a lot when I was a kid, when baseball was over, I was doing something else. So I gave my arm a rest. And so you're right. All the things that I did as a kid helped me and molded me to be the player I was in the big leagues.
Joined by longtime Major League player Fred Lynn. Fred, you end up choosing to go to USC for college. Did you want to stay close to home, or was that a good school? Why that choice?
I grew up in the throes of the Coliseum, but I watched Mike Garrett play when I was a kid, and O.J. was right before me, O.J. Simpson. And so I was being recruited to play football, not baseball. So I was being recruited by all the schools on the West Coast, UCLA and Stanford, and to play football. And some of the schools back east, some of them for basketball, some were football, and very few were baseball. None of the big universities was baseball. I was going, when SC came knocking on my door, would you like to play football and then baseball for us too? I said, you bet. I said, where do I sign? So I was very excited. It was a great program then. John McKay was the head football coach, and my coach for baseball was the renowned Rod Dedeaux. And so we were strong in both sports. And and it was a good academic school, and it was close by to where I lived, and it was a perfect fit for me.
Fred Lynn joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260, a longtime Major League Baseball player who's the first player. Actually, I looked it up. Ichiro actually also eventually later on won the MVP.
Well, we,
and
you know,
the rookie
sometimes
of the year.
You know, when you talk to like my wife, she says he wasn't a rookie. He had nine batting titles in Japan.
That's totally fair, though, Fred. That's very true. Now, you know, your rookie season was memorable, and we'll get to that in a second. But here you are, like most baseball guys. You know what? You work your way up the system. You're playing Double A for the Bristol Red Sox, and then a little bit in Triple A Pawtucket, and then you get the late season call up, which is pretty normal in baseball. So tell me about your debut in September of 1974 against the Milwaukee Brewers. What do you remember? You know, just kind of that first time stepping into the batter's box of a major league game.
You know, and actually in 74. Jimmy Rice and I got called up, and he got called up in August, and I got called up in September.
Okay.
And the team was in just a hitting slump. They couldn't score any runs, and I was just sitting on the bench doing nothing, and they wouldn't play Jimmy or I. I'm not sure why, but they just didn't. So my first opportunity to get in a game was to pinch run for a guy on third base against Milwaukee at home. And no, it was against Detroit. And I'd never pinch run in my life. I'm always in the game. I just never came off the bench because I was always a starter. So it was like, okay, this is different. Anyway, I got thrown out at the plate. So, oh, great. What a great way to start. And I think I pinch hit twice before they finally started me. And I never even pinch hit before. I didn't know what that was like either. So I finally started, like you said, against Milwaukee, in Milwaukee, against Jim Slayton. I'm as excited, you know, I can't wait for the game to start, to be honest with you. And I come up the first time up, and he throws me a fastball, and I'm a little late on it, but I hit it home run distance, and it just goes foul down the left field line. And then he hangs me a curveball, and I hit it out to right field. And so my first at bat where I started, I homered. So I come up my second time, and I hit a double. So now I'm 2-for-2 off of Slayton, and they bring in a lefty, and Darryl Johnson takes me out of the game. It's like, whoa. You know, I hit a homer and a double. What else do you want me to do? He brings in a lefty like I can't hit him. And so all the veterans would say, hey, nice game, kid. You know, go take a shower. That didn't last long. I think the next game I got like 3 or 4 hits, and then, you know, they played me against everybody. But that first at bat, as a starter, I don't even know if I felt the ground, to be honest with you. I was very excited. And then to hit a home run, as your first hit, it was pretty cool.
Oh, it's so special, no doubt. Now, Fred, why do you think there was a reluctance to get you in the lineup? Was it just the time of year, or the manager didn't like you at that point? What was the issue in your, or just a young guy kind of waiting for his turn?
I think that because Boston was in the pressure cooker, you know, back in the day in the 70s, you know, they hadn't won yet. It's not like now where they'd won, you know, 4 times in the last 20 years. We hadn't won since, I don't know, 1917 or something like that. And the Red Sox, they were falling apart basically from August. And I think the manager was afraid to put 2 rookies in there just because, you know, he might catch some heat from the press because they were still in the pennant race. So he's a little reluctant, but finally he decided to put us in because the team just wasn't scoring runs. But it was, by the time we got in there, it was just a little too late to catch up. But I really think that's the reason. It wasn't, you know, he was my manager for the 73 when I got called up to AAA. Jimmy Rice and I got called up to AAA for the playoffs, and Darryl Johnson was our manager. And we won the AAA World Series. In fact, Jimmy and I helped the team win, even though we weren't on the team for the whole year. So it was kind of like the same scenario. Here we come again. Now we're helping the big club, but he didn't put us in this time. Maybe if he puts us in early September, you know, things are different, and we don't blow that lead in 74.
Fred Lynn joins us. And Fred, you know, it's interesting. I was going to ask you about Daryl Johnson because, you know, he saw you late and you ended up hitting in the fall of 1974. Yeah, you in 15 games, you ended up batting 419, 18 for 43. Like, you had to be feeling pretty good, you know, once your feet got back on the ground after that first at bat. And then you just carried that over into the next season. Did you sense, though, because your manager, you'd known him before, like when you started 75, like did you have his confidence right from opening day, or was that year as a legit rookie still, was there still some kind of you having to gain his trust, or did he figure out pretty quickly like, hey, this guy's legit?
I think that you know, that's a 2 week window that I hit in, and that's a very short window for you know, major league season. So you know, I had some pretty good creds coming in, but you still have to prove yourself at that level. So 75, we've got a very young team. I mean, Jimmy Rice and I are rookies, and there's like nine guys under the age of 25. And, you know, nobody really expected us to do anything. So I'm sure he was a little concerned about me, what I could do. But I had a heck of a spring in spring training. I mean, I was just killing the ball. And so he could not start me, and he started me in center, and you know, I think I might have gone over my first game, but I didn't go three games without getting a hit in 75. So Jimmy Rice and I hit 3-4 in the lineup most of the time, and you'd be hard-pressed to find any team that was a contender that started two rookies in the middle of a lineup like Jimmy and I did. It was pretty special. It was nice to not be just the main guy, because Jimmy was a rookie too, and so we kind of fed off each other, and you know, we've been great friends since 1973. So it was a remarkable year for he and I and the club and, you know, the city of Boston.
So let's go, you know, here you are, you're a young guy, you've worked your way up, and, you know, you had a little taste for a few weeks in the fall of 74, Fred, and then you come into 75, and you mentioned, you know, you went over your first day, and then it just kept getting better and better and better as the season went along with you. Like, how much of that was just, like, raw ability? Like, did you expect to be that good as a rookie?
to be honest with you, I expect to do well at any level that I play, and I always had success at every level, so I really didn't see why I wasn't going to have success at that level as well. They still have to throw it over the plate. You know, that plate hasn't changed the dimensions, the levels that you go up. It's just the guys that are better doing it. But I had a great cast around me. It wasn't just me. Like I said, they couldn't focus. If I was hot, they couldn't focus on getting me out because we had so many other good players on our club. And interestingly enough, they didn't know what to do with me as a hitter. Where are they going to put me at the beginning of the season? I led off. I hit ninth one time. This is a good story, actually. We're going to face Vida Blue at home. And DJ is going to, Daryl Johnson is going to give me the day off against Vida. And so Juan Benique was going to play center. He's a right-handed hitter. Well, he gets hurt during messing around in the clubhouse. Somebody spiked him in the head, wrestling, if you will. And so he's out of the lineup. So he comes up. So I'm hitting ninth in the lineup. And I come up in the third inning. And now he's okay. Benicus is okay to come back in the game. So he takes me out of the game after like two innings. This is the greatest thing ever. I start the game. I don't get in at bat. I get a game's play. But when it comes to be my turn at bat, he pinches for me. That was insane. And then, you know, as the season progressed, I actually hit Vida Blue pretty well. He threw hard, and, you know, he won a Cy Young, and he threw gas, but he had trouble against lefties getting his curveball over, and I used to hammer his curveball. So, but it was so weird to be in the game and then get your first at bat. Nope, they'll pinch in for you.
Now,
so obviously that didn't last, you know, throughout the season, but that was one of the weirdest things that ever happened. And then, like you say, I hit leadoff for a while. And we're playing the Yankees in actually we're playing them in Shea because they're renovating Yankee Stadium. And I hit two homers that day off a lefty. And he said, well, you're not going to be leadoff anymore. So finally it settled in probably May, something around there, late May, as the number three hitter. And Jimmy hit behind me most of the time, or sometimes Yaz, but there was always somebody powerful behind me. So most of the time they pitched to me because, you know, I'm a skinny little dude. They said, well, this guy, what's he going to do? With those, they got the big guns behind him. So that helped me out a lot.
You know, Fred, when you at that time, I'm guessing it wasn't a ton of video like guys have now. So what was the discussion amongst your peers, your other batters on your team, your hitters, like talking about pitchers? Was it the way they approached it, or was it like where the guy liked to place it? How did you guys kind of handle that inside intel?
Yeah, there was no video at all. And in fact, I would talk to Yaz mostly because we're similar build, and if they're going to pitch him a certain way, they're probably going to pitch me very similar. And so, you know, you would get insight that way. But if, say, I'm the third or fourth hitter in a game, I'm really watching that guy because I've never seen any of these guys. You're a rookie. There's no scouting report. There's none of that stuff. You used visual acuity and you asked your teammates for info, but you learned as you saw. You know, you got in the box. You saw what the guy was delivering. Maybe step out to, you know, think, collect your thoughts, and then you go get them. But that's the way it was for rookies back then. Every day was a new experience. Not only are you seeing new pitchers, you're in new ballparks, you're in new cities. You know, there's life off the field for a rookie, which is people never think about. You know, where do you go in New York City to get something to eat? These kinds of things. All the things that people do to live their lives off the field, we do as rookies, and it's just amplify, especially when you're playing in a town like Boston. But it's being a rookie, it's a new day every day, and it's a new experience every day. So you're learning as you go, and hopefully you remember how guys got you out, if they did get you out, and you made the adjustment the next time you saw them. Because the league will adjust to you. If you're killing the league on fastballs, that gets around. And so everybody says, okay, this kid can hit a fastball. Let's see if he can hit the breaking stuff. Let's see if he can hit the off-speed stuff. All of a sudden, you're seeing a dearth of this stuff. Choo, 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 choo. And then you start hitting that. Well, that gets around, too. You better figure, the league says, well, you better figure something else against this guy because he can handle that, too. So it's a constant game within the game, especially for rookies. And today's rookies, you know, they just go to the video and watch tape. But that's not how it was back then.
Fred Lynn joins us, 16 years in the Major League Baseball, 9-time All-Star, AL MVP, AL Rookie of the Year, ALCS MVP in 1982, 4-time Gold Glove Award winner, was the 1979 AL Batting Champion. He's in the Boston Red Sox Hall of Fame. And, you know, that rookie season for you is, I'm sure you guys made it all the way to the World Series. So, like any young player, like, oh, this is easy. I guess we're going to get to the World Series every year. And obviously that didn't happen. Fred, how long did it take you to get over that? Because to lose a World Series is difficult, but to lose it in Game 7 in a baseball-mad market that hadn't won at that time in over 50 years, like, was it like a whole off season of dread for you? How did it go?
That's a really good point. I was pretty spoiled, to be honest with you. At the University of Southern California, my 3 years, we won 3 national titles. And then I went to AAA and won the AAA World Series. So I get to the big leagues in my first year, get to the World Series, I expected to win. I don't think there was anybody more astonished that we lost than me. I'd never experienced losing a championship game before. So that was a totally unique experience. I was kind of numb, to be honest with you. I didn't know what to do. Like I said, I'd never been there before. But I have the ability to learn from bad situations, and then you try not to put yourself in that situation again. And if you do, you learn from it, and you hopefully advance. But I didn't keep that with me very long. I knew we were young and we were good, and chances are we would get back. Had we had Jimmy Rice for the World Series, remember, you might not know this, but in late September, he got hit by a pitch and broke his hand. So we didn't have him for the World Series. It would be like the Reds without Johnny Bench. So it was a big handicap, and it was kudos to us to get to, you know, Game 7 and lose that game 4-3 without Jimmy. I truly think if we had Jim Rice, we'd have won in 75. We wouldn't have taken six or seven games either. But that loss didn't haunt me. You know, I thought about it, and you know, it'd be nice to win. But I have the ability to put those things behind me and look forward. You know, I look for the good things, and I don't dwell on the negative things in life. And so that's the kind of player I was. And so I just looked forward and said, okay, we'll get him next year. And, you know, unfortunately for me and my ball clubs, you know, we got close a lot of times, but we just couldn't quite get there.
Fred, you know, it always feels like the Boston Red Sox are one of those franchises that are like it means a lot to play for them. What was it like to play for the Red Sox at that time with the Green Monster and all that stuff there?
It was intense. To be honest, especially when we played the Yankees, if we played the Yankees in April, we used to play them, 20 times a year. And if we played them in April, the place would be jammed, 35,000. We played in Yankee Stadium, be 55,000. It was like a World Series every time we played those guys. There'd be 100 reporters in the locker room. The intensity in the city for baseball is second to none. These people know their baseball. And if you go to Fenway Park, you better bring your A game because that's what the fans expect. And it was a great motivator for players. I love playing there because the intensity level was so high, you felt it as a player. It was just electric. And when you played other places, it was kind of like a letdown sometimes because the intensity wasn't there. But Boston, they love their sports and they love baseball. And back in the day, if they weren't at the game, they were listening to the game. And they were at the Cape, or they were in Maine, wherever they were listening to the Red Sox baseball.
Fred Lynn joins us. Fred, you know, you had seven fantastic seasons with the Red Sox. Then you got traded in the offseason in January of 1981. Did it catch you off guard? Were you expecting that trade to California?
No, it really didn't because, you know, there were things going on back then. There were lots of stuff happening with contracts and free agency and all these kinds of things were happening, not just for me, but for the league. And so it was kind of expected that the club was going to deal me for something. It was kind of a little bit of a shock to your system because I thought I'd be with the Red Sox for my whole career. But you have to be able to move on and put things behind you as a professional athlete. And, you know, that's what I did. You know, one door closes, another one opens. And so you go to the next club and, you know, you try to do the best you can. And actually, when you play your old club, you try to beat the heck out of them. But you know, that thing, my time in California was great. We had some really good players there. And every club I played on had its positive aspects to it. And so that's how I dealt with it. You know, whatever happened to me, I just tried to look for the positive things and help my team win.
Fred, was it a difficult decision to leave the West Coast to go to the opposite coast with Baltimore?
Not really. Again, there's lots of things that back then the players and the owners weren't getting along that well. We were fighting for every, you know, all the rights that the players have now, that's what we were fighting for. And there was lots of things going on between the players and the owners, and sometimes things just happen. And I got caught in the crossfires in leaving Anaheim, going to Baltimore, but it was a good move for me. I love playing in the East Coast. I love Baltimore. They have great fans there. It was a really good experience. I didn't really want to necessarily leave the Angels, but that's what happened. You just sometimes things dictate what you could do, and you just have a little control, but you don't have as much control then as you do now, that's for sure.
Your last year, when you made the All-Star team, because you made it nine consecutive years in a row, also was the time you're the All-Star MVP. Now, the All-Star game in baseball, you know, used to be maybe a little bit more intense than it is now. Fair to say, when you were playing in that All-Star game from 75 through until 83. What's your, like, do you have a favorite All-Star memory? And how, and I maybe go back to being a rookie when you get named to the All-Star team and you're a rookie and you walk walk in with guys you were probably just like, oh my goodness. Like, what was your oh my goodness, this guy's my teammate on the All-Star? Who is the player that you're most in awe of being a teammate with at the All-Star game?
That's a great question. And in 75, I wasn't even on the ballot. You know, you know, I'm a rookie. I wasn't even on the All-Star ballot. The people had to physically write my name on the ballot to get me in the All-Star game. So that's how I made it. And so it's in Milwaukee, and Henry Aaron's on that club. So I was a big fan of his when I was a kid, and now he's my teammate. This is a pretty cool moment. You know, and I went up and introduced myself to him. I almost said Mr. Aaron, and that would have been a mistake. and then I said, hi, Henry, I'm Freddie Lynn. And he says, I know who you are, kid. And I said, ooh, that was pretty cool. Henry Aaron knows who I am. So that was the ultimate. That year was a great year, but that was a real highlight for me. You're right, I played in 9 All-Star games, and it was intense. Each league owner, I mean the league president, he would call us up individually. Lee McPhail would say, we got to win this game. You know, I'm going to put the best team on the field, and we're going to beat these guys. And that's the way it was. And so in my last All-Star game in Chicago, that was the 50th anniversary of the All-Star game, and we had lost like 11 out of 12 or something like that. And I had won one yet against the National League. And finally, I hit a grand slam. I think it was in the third inning, put us up 7-1, and we won 13-3. And we finally got off the snide there. And if you look at the record book, ever since 1983, the American League has dominated the Nationals. So that was a big deal because I'm an American leaguer. I took a lot of pride in that game. I wanted to face the best guys, and I wanted to do well on the big stage. So that was a big deal. It was my hometown. I had a lot of my cousins were there and a lot of family there. And when we beat them, it was just a really big moment for me in the American League.
You know, when you go to those All-Star games, are you watching that, like, guys really closely to pick up little tricks you can take back to your regular season?
It's, you know what happens? You see all the pitchers, you know. I'm with Ron Guidry. He's on the club, and, you know, he's a Yankee. I barely want to talk to him. But, you know, the pitchers wouldn't talk to position players. they're your teammates for, you know, a day, but sure. They're not talking to you. They might say hi, but that's about it. You know, position players, you know, we'd be picking each other's brains or, you know, we'd be watching, but nobody's going to give you anything. No, they're not dummies. It would be nice. Oh, yeah, how do you hold that curveball? When do you throw it? Do you throw it like when you're behind in the count? No, that's not happening.
Fred Lynn joins us. And Fred, you look at your career, and you know what a fantastic career for as long as you played. Were there any you played against some great pitchers? Who was the pitcher that gave you the most trouble, and why?
Yeah, that's that's an easy answer for me. It's Frank Tanana. In the mid 70s, he pitched for the California Angels. It was Ryan and Tanana, 1 and 2. And, you know, obviously Ryan led the league in strikeouts. He struck it over 300. But number two was Frankie Tanana. He was about 6'3", left-hander, and he had 4 pitches. And he kind of threw across his body. That's why he hurt his shoulder, probably in the late 70s. But he threw hard. He had a good curveball. He even threw a changeup. And we go in there to play the Angels, and this is the 75. We have a good club, right? He strikes out 17 of us, Frankie did. I struck out 3 times, and I swung, I think, 9 pitches. I didn't foul one off. I'm having a pretty good year. And even if I did square one up, somebody caught it. So he just had my number. I didn't pick up the ball well off of him. And every time he fished one, gosh, here we go. Let's see if he can just put the ball in play today.
So were you, when I listened to you, it almost sounds like, were you almost mentally defeated? Like a guy, when he gets your number like that, it's almost like you got to get over yourself more than anything else as a batter. Because, like, I never played baseball at any high level, and I'm amazed that guys can hit balls like curveballs and stuff like that. It's freakish to me. But how much of it was a mind game as a batter?
I'm pretty good at that. But against Frankie, it didn't matter. I mean, I believe me, I'm bearing down. I'm trying my best to hit the ball against this dude. But there were lots of guys, lefties, that I did quite well against. That threw better than he did. We're Hall of Famers, left-handers. Randy Johnson, I homered off him. I homered off a bunch of guys. But he just had my number, and it wasn't that I was defeated. I just couldn't get him. And if I'm facing an all-star caliber pitcher, he has my full attention. I actually feel like I rose to another level against those type pitchers. Because they can make you look really silly. So my focus was, to the nth degree against those type of individuals. That's why I did so well in All-Star games, because you're facing Hall of Famers just there, one after another. And so you better be focused on what the heck you're trying to achieve here. And your mechanics better be really good. Otherwise, they can make you look really bad. So the highlight is when you hit guys like that, it's a feather in your cap. That's why I play, to do well against the best guys and the biggest situations.
Fred, thank you so much for this. It's been a pleasure having you on Storytime and telling us about your fantastic career. I really appreciate it. Continued success. What are you doing now for fun?
Well, I'm still doing a couple things. I'm talking to the fans on Twitter. That's kind of a fun exchange. And I do some shout-outs on Cameo. That's another thing where I get to speak to the fans, and if they're doing birthday wishes or Father's Day wishes, I get to talk to them one-on-one, and that's a great thing. And so I'm looking forward to going to some games. And in the San Diego area here, the Padres are hot, and I want to see good baseball, and it's nice to see fans in the stands again. I'm just excited about the season in general.
Well, Fred, thanks so much for this. It's a pleasure talking to you. I'd love to do it again sometime in the future. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Chase.